Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joshua Harris.
Hey everybody, Pastor Josh back. Excited to share the word with you. Thank you for joining us, and we're just praying that you and your families are receiving as we're going through the book of Matthew together. And we get to a part where Jesus starts teaching again. He's at this house, and then he goes out from the house to the sea, and a great multitude gather together to him. So he goes into a boat, and he starts teaching them many things in parables. So he's telling stories. Parables are just stories that illustrate some purpose or some idea in a way that could either be for greater understanding, or Jesus points out later, in some ways it could be said so that you don't fully understand what he's saying. But he tells this story this way. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. So that's the starting point of this story. You're picturing someone and they're planting seeds. They're trying to grow a crop. And he says, as he sowed some seed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Then he goes on to say, there's other seeds. Some fell in stony places that didn't have much earth and immediately sprang up because of no depth of earth, right? But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And so what we see here is the importance of having strong roots. But he goes on the story, just jumps ahead to a different kind of picture of soil. And he talks about one being covered in thorns. And he says, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And so there's different kinds of ground here, and none of them are producing any kind of good thing. And so then he goes to a fourth option, and he says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So then he applies to this statement. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. And so this is one of the things I pray about a lot. God, open my ears that I can hear what you're saying. Because it seems to me that God is trying to tell us something. He's trying to impart to this whole group of people an understanding of how life works, where you can actually produce good things, where you can have a harvest in your life. But it seems to us that we don't fully see exactly, okay, so how do we see this harvest come forth in our lives? So he goes on to explain it. His disciples come to him and go, well, why are you telling these stories? Why don't you just tell us exactly what you're trying to say? And he says, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So actually, he's not telling these parables. A lot of times we'll say, oh, he's telling parables to make it easier to understand. Actually, in this case, he's not. He's telling parables because he's going to show you something, but you're not going to fully understand it. Why? Because he said, whoever has, to him more will be given. He who has abundance, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. A few weeks back, we talked about the idea of not throwing your pearls before pigs. One of the things he's trying to show here is he's answering questions, he's sharing truth, but not in a way that reveals something that he doesn't want to reveal to people who would use it for wrong or use it for harm. And he explains that this was actually prophesied about. He said, in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing, you will hear, but you won't understand. Seeing, you will see, but you won't really perceive what you're looking at. This is a kind of terrible place to be. I don't know if you've ever been in a scenario where you suddenly realize what you thought was real in front of you was actually a mirage. What you thought you understood about that other person was actually, they were being fake. When you thought someone was your friend, I don't know if someone's ever come up to you and they're starting to be really nice and they're sharing different things to you. And then all of a sudden it comes out. They're trying to sell you some product, right? All of a sudden they pull out some Yakult from behind their back, or they pull out some pamphlet to try to sell you something. And you want to be, and there's the frustration that comes from being like, oh, I thought I heard your heart, but I missed it. I thought I saw what you were trying to do, but I missed it. And so he goes on to say this, their hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears hard of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I would heal them. Here's what he's saying. These people have hardened themselves against God. They've hardened themselves against truth. They've hardened themselves against understanding. I was talking to someone recently, and a relationship was breaking up, and he was talking about his parents' relationship had been broken up. And he said, when their parents broke up, his dad pulled him aside, and his dad said, I did 100% of everything right in that marriage. Not a single thing did I ever do wrong in my entire life. Now, that person's been hardened. They're not hearing the heart of the other person. I don't know the specific situation, but I'm guessing it wasn't he was perfect 100% right and the other person was 100% wrong. When you hear that, it helps you understand, no matter what you're trying to tell that person, if they already think everything they do is right, everything they say is right, every way they act is right, it's going to be really hard to share concerns, to come to agreement, to find a place of adaptation to one another. And so he says, look, these people have hardened themselves, so they're unwilling to receive my healing. But then he flips it around and says this, blessed are your ears, though, or blessed are your eyes, for they see, blessed are your ears, for they hear. So here's the question for me. How do we get to be these people who have eyes that see and ears that hear? We'll get to it in a second. Now, surely, he says, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. So what's he saying here? This is Jesus saying, look, I'm the real Messiah. I'm bringing the truth to you. I'm God himself showing you what is real truth. And here's what I love. He goes, how does he do it? He does it very relationally. He says, now, let me pull you aside and let me help you hear the parable of the sower. So how does Jesus open our eyes? How does Jesus open our ears? He actually gives forth his own word. He uses his own word to explain his words. If you've ever read part of the Bible and you're like, man, I don't fully understand what's happening here. I don't fully get it. The good news is the answer is almost always somewhere else in the Bible. So as you read the whole thing and as you get other friends and family together and you start reading through and meditating on God's words together, often the answers are found in other places in the story. God's words help us understand God's words. And so he says, here, let me give you some more words to understand the words I've shared. I shared a story. I shared a symbolic story. Let me help you understand what it really means from the heart. So he goes on to say this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, okay, so he's talking about how his kingdom comes forth. What does his kingdom mean? That there was a kingdom of darkness. This enemy named Satan stole this world from God. And he's now holding people in oppression. He's holding people in slavery, and they can't get out. And so when the kingdom of God comes, what Jesus says is, I'm coming and I'm doing different things. I'm mending the brokenhearted. I'm setting prisoners free. I'm opening the eyes of the blind so they can see. I'm giving beauty instead of ashes. This is all in Isaiah 61. He reads those verses and says, that's who I am. It's fulfilled in your hearing. I'm coming to share and take people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And he says this. So when people hear that good word of the kingdom, that the kingdom has come upon you, and that the kingdom of peace is moving you out of the kingdom of violence, the kingdom of love is moving you out of the kingdom of hate, what happens is some don't even understand it at all. Why? Because the wicked one comes and snatches away the word that was sown into their heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So he's saying it's like if you went out to spread seeds around and some hit a road, right? A wayside is like the road or a path that's been worn down. It's so hard and so packed in that the seed can't go in. It's like someone's heart is so hard that even when you say words of compassion, when you say words of love, when you say words of hope, they just don't even go into their heart. There's just nowhere for them to go. So what happens is the enemy actually comes like birds coming and picking off the seed, takes it away. So he says, that's one kind of group of people. There's another kind of group of people. They're ones who, when the seed is sown, it's like stony places where they hear the word and they receive it with joy. Some people go, oh, this Jesus thing is cool, man. He heals people. He loves people. He forgives people. Isn't Jesus all about love and forgiveness? But it says they have no root in themselves. So what happens is they endure for only a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they stumble. This is someone who, I don't know if you've ever been like this, they jump on all the latest fads, right? As soon as, oh, hey, there's a keto workout. Oh, no, there's an Atkins workout. Oh, no, there's this kind of workout. There's that kind of thing. And they keep changing their direction. They keep changing their focus. They keep changing their purpose. They keep changing the things they're doing because they get excited about something. It's fun for a few days, and then you kind of give up. We joke about this, particularly in America, but I think it happens everywhere, is in around January when a new year starts, all the gym memberships increase and multiply a ton because everybody, oh, this year I'm going to get in shape. Oh, this year I'm going to go to the gym. Oh, this year I'm going to change my life. It happens at church. Oh, this year I'm going to go to church. Oh, this year I'm going to do something different with my life. And then what happens is life happens. And as soon as difficulties arise, tribulation and persecution, people don't like what you're doing. People say something bad about what you're doing. Yourself, you get tired. And when you get tired, you miss the value, or you forget the joy that you originally started with. And you end up in this place of stumbling, it says. So that's where it's on the stones. There's no root to keep you going in the dry seasons. He goes on to say this. Now, he who received the seed among the thorns That is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke that word. So what happens is the word comes to you, you hear it. Implicitly, this person receives it. They're okay with Jesus. Hey, Jesus saved me. Cool. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Awesome. But what happens is the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches come in, and they start choking out the value of that word. And the end result of that is really, really sad. You really received a word. It's really something that could change your life. It really is working in you to potentially make you someone who could produce good fruit. What fruit are we talking about? Well, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that love manifests as joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All these things are available to us, but it's saying what happens is the cares of life and the deceitfulnesses of riches start choking you and choking you and choking you, so you're not able to produce that fruit. You end up unfruitful. That's really sad, because you actually received the seed. You've received the word. You received the word of the kingdom, but it's not producing what it should. So he says there's a fourth option. He who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Now, he indeed bears fruit and produces. I really like that. That's my life I want to live. I want to live a life where there's fruit being born. I'm actually producing. I don't think there's anything more frustrating than, like, if you go work out for a year and you don't see any change. I don't think there's anything more frustrating than you change your diet, you don't see any change. You try to change and add some new habits to your life, but you don't see any value from them over time. I want to be someone who, whatever seed I'm getting, whatever truths I'm receiving, whatever words are coming to me, if they're good words, that I'm actually able to see where I produce or bear this good fruit, good things come out of us. So how does it work? How does it happen? It says, well, we got to hear the word and we got to understand it. So how does that work? Well, Proverbs says this, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Now, you can receive that one of two ways. One way to say that is, okay, well, I guess if God doesn't show me the truth and doesn't open my ears and doesn't help me see, then it's kind of God's fault. He didn't help me. I didn't see it. It's not my fault. My ears don't hear well, or my eyes don't see well. I don't think he's saying that. This is spiritual, talking about spiritually hearing, spiritually seeing. How can we find that grace to receive what God wants to share with us? Well, in the book of Psalm, there's a verse that actually really changed my life. I was reading the Bible and I was just so frustrated. I was like, man, this feels like a dry, dead, uninteresting book. And honestly, I'm reading it and I'm not getting much out of it. Until I came across this verse, and it really changed my life. It says, open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things from your law. And it was like God was speaking into my heart. Hey, man, you can keep reading this thing on your own and hope for the best, or you can come to me. You can ask for my help, and I can open your eyes so you can see the things I want to show you from my word. In short, we need God to open our spiritual eyes. We need God to open our spiritual ears. So God, we're asking that even now, and I'm praying that even as we have this time together, Lord, I'm praying that you would open our eyes to see the wondrous things in your word. You would open our ears to hear you as you speak to us throughout the day, as you whisper words of wisdom to us. Let us hear the words you have for us to hear. Now, it goes on to say this, that Christ in Ephesians, he asked that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. So how do we get that hearing ear? How do we get that seeing eye? Through faith, we believe in Jesus. He comes and dwells in our heart through faith, and that actually builds up our root system, being rooted and grounded in love. That's how we're going to avoid becoming those stony people that get joyful for a minute and then die out. Get joyful for a minute and then die out. How do you avoid that cycle of death? The root system is actually love. And so we receive that root system of love by letting Jesus come and dwell in our hearts by faith. He becomes the stability factor. He becomes the root that holds us together, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Imagine you have so much love rooted in you, and you're connected to a root source that has so much life. It has God life. It has God love. It has God joy. It has God peace. No matter what else is going on around you, no matter how dry it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how sunny it gets, it cannot wither you when you have that much life flowing through your root system. rooted and grounded in love, we can face any challenge. Now, let's say you have that root system now. So you've broken through the hardness because God's grace, he's helped you understand and see the wonderful things written in his law. He's opened your ears that you can hear his word. And so now you're kind of breaking up that hard ground. And now those seeds are kind of getting into your heart and you're hearing the word of God and you're believing the word of God and it's starting to grow in your heart and you're receiving Jesus by faith. You're saying, Jesus, come live inside me and change me from the inside. Take my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. And God's root system's going down in you. The next thing that will happen again and again and again, and there's stories about it we'll read as we continue in Matthew, enemies will come and try to build thorns and weeds and other things around you to choke the life that started out of you. And it is a war. It is a battle. And these things will come around and try to choke you out. So the question is, how do we get those weeds and thorns and things that choke us out? How do we get rid of them without killing the plant itself? And I love Jesus's response to that as reading in from 1 John, how he frames how Jesus sets us free from thorns, from the cares of life, from the deceitfulnesses of riches, from the challenges we face day in, day out. He says, if you'll walk in the light as he is in the light, two things will happen. You'll end up in genuine fellowship with one another. In other words, if we walk with Jesus every day, we walk in transparency, we walk in openness and honesty and love where we don't have to hide, nothing to fear, nothing to hide, then what happens is as we're walking with Jesus and I have two big lights shining at me to make me look okay, and as those lights are shining on top of me, as I'm walking light, you see clearly, you see reality, and dark things don't grow well in this light. Fungi don't grow well in this light. Think corrupting things don't grow well in light. Light actually penetrates and burns those things out. And he says, if you keep walking in that light, sin grows in the dark. Disease grows in the dark. But when you bring it to the light, two things will happen. You'll have fellowship with one another. And then this blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice of God's own son who comes and dies on our behalf so that all those things that tie us down, all those things that break us apart can be defeated. That comes, and the good news is that blood cleanses us from all our sin. Everything wrong we've ever done has already been paid for by Jesus. And so whatever things have been distracting us, whatever things have been covering us up, whatever things have been choking out God's word, we can go back to Jesus and say, you died to set me free from this. Burn this out of my garden and heal me. Heal me. Help me be strong, rooted and grounded in your love. Help me be strong because you've opened my eyes to see and you've opened my ears to hear the wonderful things that are written in your law. So let's summarize our message today. And I hope this encourages you to trust God that as his seed comes to you, he's going to grow life in you. Now, in the parable of the sower, we learned certain things. The sower is the same guy. He throws seed in different places. It's not how good he preached that message. It's not how good he threw that seed. The sower is the exact same guy in all these different scenarios. The seed's the same too. The seed is the word of God. God's word has been given to us in the Holy Bible. I believe it's the inerrant word of God that gives truth for life and godliness in any way we want to live it by his grace. And it shows us enough in completeness for us to live fully devoted to him. That word is the same. The difference is the condition of the soil. So Jesus explains the parable to his own disciples saying, look, lack of understanding will steal truth from you. So you want to humble yourself and open your heart to hear and to see. And you want to ask God to open your eyes that you can see the wonderful things written in your law. You want to ask God to open your ears that you can hear again his voice as it speaks to you. Lack of roots prevent perseverance. So sometimes we are hearing God's word. We are hearing God's truth. And it's not that it's not real. It's not that you didn't really believe. It's not that you're not really going for it. It's that you haven't learned to be rooted and grounded in his love enough to face perseverance. There's certain things that happen to me and my first gut instinct is I want to quit. What keeps you going? For sports, it's the love of the sport. In a relationship, it's the love of the other person. In parenting, sometimes it's just desperation and going, I by faith love my children enough to keep waking up when they're sick in the middle of the night, back when they were small or something like that. But when we don't have a root of love, it's hard to persevere challenge. It's easy to persevere challenges with my wife or my children because I know, hey, we love each other and this is for life. We're going to keep building together forever. So we might as well face this thing and go. It's harder in places where the root foundation of love isn't as strong. Like when God says, love your enemies. Sometimes I struggle. When God says, love people who hurt you back. Sometimes I struggle. But the more I get rooted and grounded in love, the easier it is for me to respond in love, even when persecution, when trials come. And he says weeds will come in and choke out God's word. So you need to be careful. The deceitfulnesses of riches, the cares of this world. And that's a big one. Care, anxiety, stress, and fear start choking out the things God's telling us in our lives. So Jesus goes, here's an answer for you. I will give you understanding. I will open your eyes so you can see the wonderful things written in my law. I'll pull you aside and I'll whisper to you in relationship so that you can understand my parables. You can understand my truth. You can understand my word more clearly. He roots us and he grounds us in his love so that we can grow in love. And finally, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness through his sacrifice on the cross. So as we close our time together, I just want to encourage you, as we always talk about the bread and cup, taking communion, and whether you're just at home by yourself or you're there with family, you're in the presence of God. And when we celebrate by taking the bread, we're saying, this is his body broken for us. This is his blood shed for us. What we're recognizing and remembering is Jesus loved us enough, not just in words, but in action, his very life becoming words to us of action, of living for us, of suffering for us, of dying for us, of rising from the dead for us, of ascending to heaven for us, of interceding day in and day out for us, and coming again to save us. He's doing all that day in, day out, and he will continue to be the deliverer into the future. We celebrate it now, what he did in the past, until he comes in the future, recognizing he cleanses us from all unrighteousness as we walk in his light, that he roots us and grounds us in love as we welcome him to dwell in our hearts by faith, that he opens our eyes, that he opens our ears, so that we can experience his word in love. God bless you as you encounter Jesus this week.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.